Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Welcome back to Grassroots Marketing here on CannabisRio.com. And right now, joining me as a guest with over 30 years of in-depth auditing, accounting, and advisory experience serving a multitude of industries. He member of the firms of the Sachs LLP's healthcare practice with a unique understanding of corporate compliance programs and changing rules and regulations affecting the senior living industry, among others. He's also part of the firm's nonprofit practice, partner in charge of the firm's accounting and auditing department, and he's also the head of the firm's innovation committee. But we're going to talk about his role as the head of cannabis practice for Sachs, SAX LLP. I'm here with Todd Polignac. Todd, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having me.
I've seen your name a lot in the space, and I thought we might have already had you here on the program here on Cannabis Radio, but I think we've had a chance where we were not able to get together on making time, but I'm glad you're here nevertheless. So specifically, we want to talk about the tax laws and regulations, which is specifically Section 280E and 471C. Now, I haven't heard anybody talk about 471C in particular. We're understanding now, I want to make this point first off, that as we know with 280E, one of the things that we've been aware of ever since the beginning, that the Drug Enforcement Administration's proposal to reclassify or reschedule cannabis would come into play. And it would initiate the rulemaking process of the rescheduled cannabis aligning with the Health and Human Services recommendation. We all know about that. We know that the most immediate impact will be that Section 280 will no longer apply to plant-touching state legal cannabis companies, and they will be able to take normal business tax deductions afforded to other industries. And the inability to take advantage of credits and deductions other than those for costs of goods sold has long been a barrier to profitability. And that the current accepted medical use of cannabis is recognized, research and potential of the plant should improve. But now, into the part about 280E, we already mentioned what 280E would have now being removed from the process does. What is 471C? Tell me about that, Todd.
Okay, so let's back up one sec. Can I back up one sec?
Sure.
Let's talk about the rescheduling process. So, and then I'll talk specifically about 471C. So for 280E, the reason 280E applies to cannabis is because it's a Schedule I controlled substance, as well as heroin and also LSD. When you remove it from Schedule I and Schedule II and you move it down to Schedule III, that's why 280E no longer applies. So regardless of what happens, if they do move that down, then this is a moot discussion, and even 471C is really not as important to talk about. But I'll tell you about 471C anyway. So this is, and there's really a real debate whether or not if they reschedule, you know, what that means as far as will they make it retroactive? So people will file their 2024 returns, you know, will 280E still apply? So let's pretend that the rescheduling doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen in a couple of years, or 280E still applies. And 471C is a way for certain companies within a certain revenue scopes can apply this code section. And basically what it does is it enables you to identify in your inventory and your cost of goods sold certain items which 280E would normally just prohibit you from taking. The trick to this is that If you do that, if you do file 471C, your books and records, your accounting has to match your tax return. If it doesn't, and you're audited by the IRS and they come in, that whole 471C section will not apply. And 471C is considered an uncertain tax position. So as an uncertain tax position, you're going to want to disclose that to the IRS. You're taking a position as uncertain. If they do audit you and they find that they don't agree with that position, you will have to pay back your taxes with interest, but you won't be penalized. And what I do with my clients is when I'm going to file 471C, you have an attorney, I actually put together that disclosure in a township to the return. So it is something that is significant and serious. So the taxpayer needs to know they're taking a risk in applying for 471C. And some of my competitors will absolutely not accept that position. Some will, because it's a risky position. It's an uncertain tax position. Now, it really came about in the delayments of 2017 to actually form out. So 2018, 2019, people were applying it. And so there's not been a whole lot of audits done, but my conversation with my colleagues in the law world, and those who represent cannabis clients who follow folks sending what see, many have prevailed under audits, so there's no changes. But there's no real tax court cases because it's still new. So if you are an entrepreneur, if you're a risk taker, it is a position that you could take. Now I'll slow down and breathe.
Well, let me go ahead and do this real quick. Just to go ahead and get the audience, because I'm learning as we're going along with this with the listeners, the 471C, Section 471C, small business provision, which has only been around since 2017 because of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. That was the tax cut that was Republican-led Congress in 2017 passed. And in providing an exemption for small businesses, those with gross receipts under $25 million, in determining an appropriate accounting method for the treatment of inventories and thereby the related costs of goods sold. Now,
correct.
One of the areas I want to ask you, because you had mentioned when we were getting this prepped, is that there were some other things need to be considered when it comes to being without being any longer under the 280E requirement or responsibility, is that there was still some issues and confusion about if cannabis will be taken off the controlled substance list because of the fallout. And the idea was, will there be some type of interstate trade for medical purposes? Will the FDA, what's the FDA oversight going to be so far? They haven't really said anything yet. It's been like what the hemp bill is now, where the FDA never really gave guidance then. They haven't really given any real inroads that would give guidance now. But eventually, the FDA would be the governing body over cannabis once legalization comes in. That sounds like it's becoming pretty clear more and more we read about it. But there was also part where you talk about how it will be taxed. Will there be an excise tax to make up for the removal of 280E? Talk to me about that.
So you think of it this way. Have you ever known the government to take something away and not give something in return? I mean, come on. So let's be, I'm a realist. You know, right. The definition of my personality is I'm entrepreneur creative. I picked the accounting profession based upon the alphabet, but I'm a realist. So there's a few things let's talk about. First, number one, there's definitely going to be some way to make up for that enormous tax that cannabis companies are paying. And like, think of the alcohol industry, the tobacco industry, there's an excise tax attached to that. So if they take it away 280E, I believe, and I'm only projecting based upon my experience in life, what the IRS giveth and taketh away, it taketh away and giveth back. So I believe there will be some type of excise tax. Will it be more, will it be fair? Will it be, I don't know, will it be considered less than the way that the cannabis companies are being taxed? No, I believe so.
Well, without any federal regulation, how can they apply any kind of an additional tax unless they go to the states and the states required to send back to D.C.?
Yeah, I don't know how they'll do it right now. I just know that I think we're projecting into the future what might come to pass, right?
Right.
So let's bring the topic that you brought about, because I did mention that when I first reached out to you, about the fact that if they reschedule it to a 3, then it's on the same level as, you know, steroids and things like that. It's still required prescription. So what happens to the recreational market, since obviously in recreation, you don't need a prescription.
Right.
I think, to be, again, put on my hat as a realist, you can't take something from a level, you know, a Schedule One controlled substance down to zero. So they have to take it from one to three. So where I sit right now, I believe that ultimately they're going to have to deal with the fact that the states have made it legal for recreational purposes. They're not going to bar the states and say, well, now everyone needs a prescription if you're a recreational dispensary. I don't know how that's going to fall out. I don't know what they're going to do, but something's got to be done there. So some of the extremists, and I'm not one, believe that this is going to destroy the cannabis state market. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that they have to go through this process. And ultimately, I do think that it's going to be legalized. When, I don't know. But I'm not overly concerned that it's going to require a prescription. I think they're going to do a workaround with the states.
No, I can imagine that. Yes, eventually, you know, the IRS will find their way to recoup what they're losing off the 280E from the tax write-offs. But right now, in the meantime, I mean, there's been companies that get sent wellness. We talked about plenty here on this program and Blunt Business about that they're going to try to go and recoup what they think is $10 million in tax write-offs by going back to the IRS and asking for a re-auditing of their last 3 years of taxes to see what they can get from it. We know that, you know, that probably won't even pass or really pass muster. They'll probably have to go to court about it, whatever it might be. I don't know if they can go to court about it, if they can really go ahead and do anything about it, but at least make the attempt. If they have the lawyers to do it, why not? Now, the other part is, you were looking at that there might be companies that will suffer from it being moved to Schedule 3, potentially, because the point is that now certain companies in states where it is legal to have a virtual monopoly, I would think of the MSOs, especially those growing in cannabis since it has to be grown in that state, will force prices to go down and will be more efficient to grow in parts of the country where it's less expensive to grow. So bring me up to the speed about that. Do you feel like the MSOs really benefit a lot from this?
Well, I think all cannabis companies are going to benefit from 280E going away. The question is whether or not you're going to be able to do interstate commerce, right? You're going to be able to traffic across the states. And you do have some states already, even though it hasn't been passed, you have states already who are trying to form some type of cooperative to transfer goods between those states. So there's already a discussion about that. But if it becomes so that you don't have to grow the product or manufacture the product in the state, then I think the assumption is that it's going to be more cost effective to grow in other parts of the country. Look, I'm from New Jersey. I think New Jersey, if you think about it, is a pretty expensive state to live in, pay people in. So if you're growing cannabis in New Jersey, it's going to be more expensive than another state, correct? But still, I've got to imagine that the states are going to try to keep their monopoly together. They're not going to want this whole thing to fall apart. So there's going to be some type of struggle to keep it within the state. What that means, I don't know. But eventually it's going to bleed out. I mean, eventually you have a legal market that's across the whole country. It's going to be, you know, supply versus demand. And if you're already big, like you said, the MSOs, you're going to benefit from the fact that you have a location in other states. But how long that's going to take, I don't know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I've read when it comes to 280E that interstate commerce will still be prohibited under rescheduling. State legal businesses will continue operating as they have been under state regulations. But do you think there's some room for interstate commerce? I mean, I always thought about it, where California, Oregon, Washington State, Nevada are all interconnected some way, somehow. That could be a regional plan that could be put in place. Is there anything that you can think of that would allow that to move forward?
I know there's been bills, I can't cite them from my memory, where there's been discussions between those states. So I think it's setting the model for the future, right? And where does it make the most sense? We need what comes. That, I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of sense to cultivate on the East Coast, unless it's really a specific brand that's needed there, but it's going to be in the West Coast.
Right. I mean, not anything where, like, it was a New York, New Jersey, Connecticut kind of deal. It wouldn't be anything like that either.
Have you ever had a New York wine? Have you ever had a Connecticut wine or a New Jersey wine? You know, against a California wine, it's going to be totally different. Where the plant is grown, even though it's grown indoors, is going to have an impact on the plant. So I do think that it's going to possibly shift. But it's gonna take some time. You've got all these states that have built these whole structures about everything being done in the state, and they're getting tax revenue from this. They're not going to just say, "Oh yeah, come and take away all this revenue we're getting."
Right. I want to bring up one more thing before we wrap things up, and I'm taking this from the National Law Review. So there was one thing they call a practice point when they talked about Section 280E no longer applying if cannabis is rescheduled. They brought this point up, that taxpayers in cannabis should consider whether to file protective refund claims for past tax years before definitive guidance is issued. So taxpayers can file a protective refund claim, I guess what Ascend is trying to do, that is expressly contingent on a specified future event, the guidance of the Treasury to the effect that rescheduling is retroactive to open tax years prior to the change. The Supreme Court has endorsed protective refund claims to toll the statute of limitations, thereby protecting the taxpayer's right to claim the refund if a favorable event should occur. But taxpayers should keep in mind, the IRS's view, meritless protection refund claims can be made without reasonable cause, can be subject to substantial penalties under IRC Internal Revenue Code Section 6676. Therefore, when determining to whether to file a protective refund claim, taxpayers should first consider consulting before the learning of the pros and cons. So tell me about that. Those penalties are going to be done from a meritless protective refund claim.
So, I mean, we're working with clients on this, by the way. So there are already protective claims that we're filing for clients. And obviously, it's, again, the whole issue of risk versus reward. How much risk do you want to take? My partner, Julio Jimenez, who leads my tax controversy practice, and he also is a former IRS attorney representing the IRS in matters like this, would tell you that you are taking a risk, but it's a calculated risk. Because once you start filing protective claims, then the IRS may say, okay, well, we'll look at that, but then let's open up the year and take a look at the whole year. I think that's somewhat unlikely, unless you're being really egregious. That's the all law firms, all attorneys say, give you like the bad news as well as the good. I think that for the most part, if you have a reason to file a protective claim, you should strongly consider it and talk to the professionals like myself and walk through the facts. Because here's the thing, why file a protective claim if it's not going to grant you that much potential revenue back? But if it's a sizable amount, then why would you not? In fact, as a CPA, if I don't advise clients of that, I might be practicing malpractice, right?
Right.
Because as soon as the statute passes, you can't go back and file those claims. statute passes, it's done. Can't go back. So,
and that's one of the things where I wanted to go ahead and bring that up so that we can now go ahead and loop things back to why it's more important than ever to go ahead and work with a team like Sachs LLP and with people like yourself and Julio. So let's go ahead and go into the website itself, SaxLLP.com, SaxLLP.com. And Todd, if you want, just go ahead and really quickly talk to our listeners about how they should go ahead and work with your team and these kind of questions when they raise them, what they should be prepared for if they're trying to go ahead and look at maybe something like this where they're looking to go ahead and get a protective refund and try to go ahead and work back on trying to get back taxes.
So, I mean, the way that I usually work with my clients is first phone call. I mean, conversations. We usually do initial conversations. And I have my team, we're talking about the tax refund side, my team of experts who walk through and say, okay, if 280E did not apply, what would the potential refund be? And what's the likelihood that by applying for these protective refunds or even for, you know, applying for the refunds, that it's going to open up something that we don't want the IRS to know about, which obviously you want to make sure your books and records are clean regardless. So it's a conversation. It's usually, we quickly can know within an hour of the conversation whether or not this makes sense. And, you know, it's going to cost the file amended returns or these protective returns, but what's the reward for doing this? So, yeah, I don't know. Did that answer your question? I'm not quite sure.
I want to just be like, we're going to give the chance to prompt people to go ahead and go to your website and talk to you about working on this together.
Oh, okay.
How about we do this? We want to just go back to the start of that, because all I was doing basically was just kind of like just prompting you to go ahead and plug.
Okay, good. Let's go back.
Well, if you want, just take 10 seconds and just start from there. I already asked the question. I'll just go and splice it after that.
So we are happy to work with all different size cannabis companies. Obviously, each one has a different way of approaching the whole tax issue. We're currently working with some of the larger MSOs and the smaller entities for 71C, as well as to protect their refund claims. And honestly, if any of your listeners called me with any question, I'd be happy to answer it. It would take about an hour of time to kind of flesh through whether or not there's anything here that's worth exploring for 280E or 471C or to protect the claims. And just, you know, I'm a cannabis. This is my life. About 75% to 80% of my clients right now are in cannabis. My nickname in the industry is Todd Father. So I didn't give myself that name, but it's more because I care about the companies, I care about the people, just like a godfather cares about their godkids. That's kind of the way I treat my clients. That's pretty much a little bit about me. And I'm doing a podcast too, which I'd like to have you on, called Good Morning Cannabis. And also there's a web series that's coming out to the firm called Herb on the Curb. So that's going to be going to all the dispensaries, New Jersey and New York, and plugging those dispensaries, just like, you know, Diners, Diamonds, and Dives. So, think if I throw that in, Jim.
Absolutely. No, that's wonderful. And I see you have quite a few guests you've had on again for some 50, almost 50 episodes right now of the program. And a lot of things we've had that we've gotten a chance to go speak with here on the program as well. That's great to go and hear that. Rise and Shine with Good Morning Cannabis. You can also find that from the website at SaxLLP.com. So, Todd, thank you again for being on with us. The head of cannabis practice at Sachs LLP, thanks for sharing your information with us and really putting out some things we didn't really know about.
Well, listen, anytime you want me to have come back, give me a call, and I'd like to have you back on my podcast to reciprocate. How's that?
Hey, we'll love that. Okay. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.